Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
Today we have Gary Short, who is a developer evangelist for DevExpress and one of the kindest and coolest individuals on the planet. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, now, that's what I call an introduction.
That's correct. We don't fool around on yet another podcast.
So no pressure on my part, then. I just have to maintain the illusion that I'm one of the coolest person
that on the minimum planet. That yeah. minimum standard that's right of being one of the coolest people on the planet. I don't think that would be hard for you.
I can pull that off.
Besides which, you start out, at least for the audience in the States, with that huge advantage of just sounding 20% more intelligent by virtue of having now, how do you say it, a UK accent? Because it's certainly not a British accent.
No,
there's a Scottish accent.
Yeah, there's not really any such thing as a UK accent. All the different regions, I guess, have different accents. So there's not really such a thing as a Scots accent either. But I guess simply because, I mean, different parts of Scotland, people speak different ways. But I guess
and in Glaswegian, they don't speak English at all.
No, they speak Ouija, as we term it. But no, so I have an East Coast Scotland, an East Coast Scottish accent is what I have.
There you go. And it says on your Skype, Dundee. It doesn't.
That's right.
So that gives you away right away as being on the East Coast. Although I did learn when I was there that one can go even further east to St. Andrews, which is absolutely spectacular.
Absolutely. It's lovely there. And not as when I was in Michigan last year for CodeMash. And I was talking about actually coming through Dundee in Michigan, and somebody had said, "Oh, and why is that significant?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually from Dundee in Scotland." And they said, "Oh, cool. Did they name that after the place in Michigan?"
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Yes, they did. That's right. That's exactly what they did.
Well, here. we in New England are very, very pleased because you've named so many cities after towns around here.
<That's right.
laughs> I found Cambridge, of course, but I did find Boston and many other towns that you stole from us.
Yeah, there's a Washington. There's a Washington in the UK as well.
That's actually kind of surprising. But, of course, there's all sorts of Georgetowns and so on here, so I suppose that's even. Okay,
yes,
now that we've bashed the two countries across the pond, and we can, if you like, break into a rousing chorus of and Walby King Vichari, but...
Perhaps not.
Perhaps.
Anybody who's ever heard my singing voice will be shouting, "No, no, no," right at this moment.
Yes, but between the two of us, it should be truly horrific.
That's right.
All right. So our goal today is to talk to developers about... Now, you had a great phrase for it. So let me have you remind me, you were calling it... It was not operator-assisted telephoning, but it was something very similar.
Operated assisted telephone.
I don't pay no attention to that.
I have no idea what you're talking about. If I had a cool phrase earlier on, I'm afraid I've since forgotten it.
Total breakdown of communication here.
Already I'm losing my coolest person on the planet.
Code assisted, I believe it was.
Code assisted, program assisted.
Come on, you had this wonderful. We're going to cut this whole section. Because
we're going to cut this whole section.
Like babbling idiots.
Yes. I can't remember what it was now.
Let me tell you the single greatest risk in podcasting is word retrieval.
Yes.
Word retrieval fails me every
time. I can't remember what it was I called it. It doesn't matter in the least.
What we're talking about, however, is the idea of coding with either Code Rush or one of the competitors like Gorilla and that other one.
Yes, absolutely.
So you are the technical evangelist for DevExpress, and with that for Code Rush and Refactor. Now, are you still distinguishing the distinction between Code Rush and Refactor seems to have diminished over time. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, that's a fair point. I mean, although I will just make a quick correction here, because right at this very second, if he's listening, the actual Code Rush and Refactor evangelist is jumping up and down going, no, that's not him, that's me. So I actually am the evangelist for our frameworks team. So I actually deal with things like XAF, which is our frameworks application, our application framework, sorry, and XPO, which is our ORM tool. But of course, because you can't really demonstrate either of those products without writing code, I find myself using Code Rush an awful lot in my demonstrations and in my day-to-day work, because obviously you can get through the demonstrations a lot quicker when you're using Code Rush. But since we last had our conversation in the UK, DevExpress have actually taken on an evangelist by the name of Rory Becker.
Who I have met and who is terrific.
He is excellent, right? Yes. As I said, what he doesn't know about Code Rush, to be perfectly honest, isn't really worth knowing. And since we spoke last time in the UK, we've taken him on, and he is the official Code Rush evangelist, although I kind of help out here and there simply because I use it quite a bit in my day-to-day work.
Well, then it was nice having you on. We'll call him.
Yeah, but, see you.
And not only that, but I went through the excruciating task of moving from one to the other, specifically telling everyone who would listen that the reason that I was taking on Code Rush, as good as it is, was because Gary is such a cool guy. Who knew that you weren't even the evangelist for it in the first place?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. I mean,
I must have made Rory insane, because about five times during that conversation it was like, yes, well, Gary tells me, yes, but shut up, I'm the man now. He didn't say that. He was very polite.
No, he was very polite. I mean, to be fair, when we did have our meeting in Dundee when you were across the last time, we didn't actually have an official Code Rush evangelist at that point. And so I guess, you know, within the community of evangelists within DevExpress, I probably did the most Code Rush stuff.
Well, I will say, and I will, in the interest both of total honesty and because I was totally blown away, I had a couple very minor characters from Code Rush talking to me for about 2 hours, people who I know had anything better to do with their time. Were you aware of that conversation? This was last week?
Yes, I do remember that. I mean, I was actually invited to that meeting, but I thought, to be fair, if Mark Miller is going to be there and if Rory Becker is going to be there, what could I possibly add to that conversation, to be honest, other than to just to make everybody more aware of how dumb I really am. So I decided I would give a pass on that one.
They were both absolutely unbelievably extraordinary, and Mr. Miller is just a wonder to behold. If anyone has the opportunity to see him do a presentation, he moves at light speed, but he manages to bring you along with him. And it's an extraordinary thing. And I'm deeply, deeply grateful for the time that he spent. And if only I could recreate just one tenth of what he showed me.
Yes. Well, if you get the opportunity to see Mark Miller present live, you should absolutely grab it with both hands, because he has a phenomenal talent that I wish I could develop, and I haven't succeeded so far, and that is the ability to talk about one thing whilst typing something completely different.
He is extraordinary in many, many ways, and one of the ways, we should explain what his role is at DevExpress.
We should, yes. So I believe that his official title at DevExpress is Chief Scientist, which is a fantastic title to hold in any organization, I'm sure. But what he really is the architect, inventor, god, whatever you want to call it, of Code Rush. He basically is responsible for the direction of that product. And of course, when I say Code Rush these days, I actually mean Code Rush and Refactor Pro, which we're now trying to, although they are still separate products, I believe we are trying to kind of market and bundle them as one thing. Because to be perfectly honest, to get the full productivity advantage from Code Rush, you do need the refactoring part of it as well. And vice versa, to get the full refactoring benefit out of Refactor Pro, you need to have the templating and the code analysis that comes with Code Rush. So we're really trying to market it as one product now.
And from a consumer viewpoint, they do seem like one product. But before we leave him, I have to say that not only did he show me some spectacular things, but you had the feeling that anything you said of any merit was being taken down and would show up in the product within a week. And it was just, you know, it was amazing. It was like, oh, there's an idea. Oh, yes, we should add that feature too, shouldn't we? And that's helpful. And I did steal his line. He said something about that's in our priority list. It wasn't a few minutes ago, but it is now.
It is now. Yes. I mean, I kid you not, I have seen Mark Miller do demonstrations at PDC and at TechEd in US where the crowd, someone from the crowd, somebody like Scott Hanselman, for example, will have been in the crowd and I'll have shouted out, ah, yes, but why does it not do so-and-so? And Mark will stop the demonstration and say, do you know what? That's a brilliant idea. Bring up email, send off an email to his lead developer saying, you know, get this on the backlog kind of thing, and then close down his email and carry on as if nothing had happened. And you just think, that's quite impressive. You know, so he does take on board what people say. You know, if he feels it has merit, obviously, if he thinks you're a complete idiot, then he'll just ignore you.
Yeah, no, well, that's the difference between Scott Hanselman and me, because with me, it's like, well, that's complete crap. Haven't you thought that through?
Yes. Thanks for that, Jesse. Let me put that on the back burner permanently. Right.
Yeah. Well, that, do you? Well, I can send you elsewhere. Yes. So what has happened for me is that I have tried both products. I think of the two leading products being, and I think this is fair, being ReSharper and DevExpress. And they are strikingly similar at first, shockingly different after you get to know them a bit. But they're both attempting to achieve the same thing. And I would argue that no one can be as productive a professional developer without having one or the other. Would you agree with that?
I would, actually. I mean, I think our philosophy at DevExpress has to be that we firmly believe that if you're going to be, that you will be far more productive, far more efficient, and, you know, of far more benefit to your organization as a programmer, if you use a productivity tool such as CodeRush, than somebody who doesn't use any productivity tool at all. And then once you've made that decision, and to be honest, after, you know, a few moments demonstration, really, you know, that argument is won. And then after that, the argument then becomes, well, which one shall I use? And at DevExpress, our answer to that has to be whichever one suits you best, whichever one fits best with the way you like to program. And the only way that you can work that out, the only way that you can decide really, is to, and as we always like to say in our catchphrase, you know, download, compare and decide. Download both of the programs, run them for, you know, give them a fair chance, run them for a month each or whatever, and then see which one suits you best and go with that. And we like to think that CodeRush is the better product, and any developer who gives both a fair shake of the stick will probably come out and think that CodeRush is the better one. But again, CodeRush doesn't suit every programmer, and ReSharper doesn't suit every programmer, and at the end of the day, you have to select which product suits the way you program best, to be honest. But for definite, for absolute definite, use one instead of just hacking away, you know, manually, because that's no fun at all, really.
Well, I very much appreciate that statement, and I want to let that sit for a moment and cook with folks, because that's the key statement. But let's move on a bit from the comparison to the day-to-day usage of ReSharper and the learning curve of ReSharper. What's your sense of a developer who's a fairly proficient .NET developer, Silverlight developer, Windows Phone developer? Let's talk about Windows Phone developers. Are they, are Windows Phone developers going to be able to take as good advantage of ReSharper? And, excuse me, how about that for a Freudian slip? It's beautiful. I love that. I was just talking to a friend about a Freudian slip discussion. He said, no, I know just what that's like. I meant to ask my wife to pass the salt, and instead I said inadvertently, you ruined my life, you horrible woman. So, you know, those Freudian slips can happen to anyone.
Do you have to tell me about it? It was, I went through an entire PDC referring to CodeRush as ReSharper.
Oh, that's.
And that didn't go down. Wonderful. That didn't go down too well in our booth, I can tell you.
Oh, that's wonderful. And still employed. Which, by the way, I must say, if ReSharper has a team as good and as personable as the folks that you have assembled, and that is something I intend to find out by talking with the folks at JetBrains and getting to know them a little bit better. But between yourself and your chief scientist and Rory and Rachel, who it turns out I discovered when I was in the UK, is three different Rachels who I knew independently over the course of 6 or 7 years were all her. So that was very interesting.
She's like that on the internet. Everybody knows Rachel, and Rachel knows everybody.
Extraordinary. She hired me into writing for Redgate and then helped me very much with the whole DevExpress getting set up, and then she helped it with the UK tour, and it all turned out to be the same person, and then gave me a tour of Cambridge. I mean, well, if I were 30 years younger, single, she still wouldn't have anything to do with me.
I think when it comes to that kind of thing, Jesse, and the technical world, I think you have to get to the end of a very large queue.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. That may well be right. Okay.
Yeah, best we leave that.
Yes, indeed. So what I started to ask was about the learning curve for Code Rush, for becoming first, I guess I would call it a level of usability and then a level of proficiency. What's your sense? What's your experience?
My experience is the absolute best way to get to grips with Code Rush is to open the Code Rush window. You know, that window that you spoke about before, which is basically, I mean, if I tell you there are 9,000 templates available to you in the version of Code Rush that comes straight out of the box, and that's before you add your own, then you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that it would be absolutely ridiculous if we just showed you all 9,000 templates and said, hey, knock yourself out. So what we do is that list that would appear in the Code Rush window there is filtered depending on the context that you're in. So if you're inside a namespace, for example, you only see the filtered list of templates which are available to you that make sense for you to use inside a namespace. And then again, they change once you're inside a class. And then again, they change once you're inside a property. And they change again once you're inside a method and all the rest of it.
And they change as you begin to type.
Absolutely. So as you begin to type, so for example, it says, right, so you are now inside a class. You can create a property. Create a property by pressing the P key. And as you press the P key, it says, now, okay, I understand that you want to create a property. If you want one of type string, hit S. If you want one of type integer, hit I, and all that kind of thing. So the best way to get to grips with Code Rush is to use it every day and just to keep an eye on that window and type in the mnemonics that it's leading you towards. And you'll find, actually, within a matter of hours, that because it is so, it's so intuitive. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to remember that if you want a property of type string, type PS space, and then if you want a property of type integer, it's PI space. You can pick that kind of thing up very, very quickly. And then just use it and keep an eye on that window on the left-hand side there for the more sort of esoteric things, you know, where you want a generic list kind of thing. And you can very soon pick it up.
One of the features that Mark does brilliantly is he drops the markers and jumps to another place and picks something up and then, you know, hits escape and he's back where he was. And so there's that whole kind of navigation within your code, which is actually, for me, alone an extremely exciting feature. The ability to move around and get back to where you were without having to search is always very nice. But one of the things that he did was he created a collection and an instance of a collection. And then he wanted to create a for each loop. So the mnemonic for that is FE, but he first dropped a marker, jumped up to where that collection name was, put that onto the clipboard, bounced back to where he was, and now the for each said, oh, you're doing a for each loop. I have on the clipboard an identifier. That identifier is an IEnumerable. Therefore, I will go ahead and do the naming for you. So he jumped up and got customers, a collection of customer objects. And when you type FE, it pops in for each customer in customers and puts you in the body. And that was just okay. That was kind of magical.
Yes. Yep. That feature that Mark invented there is called smart copy and paste. And there's actually an even better, or to my mind, an even better demonstration of that. And it's if you use a switch statement, okay? So what happens if you do exactly the same thing, except instead of grabbing a collection, you grab an enum type, all right? And then you put a switch statement in. Because there is an enum type on the clipboard, Code Rush will automatically put a case statement in for each of the available values in your enum.
There you go. Okay. So, Gary, let me change subjects on you slightly. I've been focused very much on Windows Phone 7. And we are getting perilously close to the holiday season when we have promised to have Windows Phone 7 phones, is that how we're going to say it, out in the market. And certainly there are thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of developers who are actively creating Windows Phone 7 applications. Is Code Rush going to be a help to them as well?
I believe it is. I mean, coming right now, there isn't going to be anything specifically for Windows Phone 7 in Code Rush, you know, that is just designed for Windows Phone 7 people. Now, that might change in the future if we can actually see a niche advantage or something that we can actually do for Windows Phone. That might take a little while for Windows Phone 7 to be out and for some developers to actually start working in that area and working on their applications and then telling us, look, these are the walls that we're banging up against. This is the stuff that we've got to write all the time. This is what makes writing for Windows Phone 7 painful. And then we might take a look at these things and say, well, look, there's something that we can actually do. We can actively put this stuff into CodeRush, and that will make their lives a lot easier. But in general, Windows Phone 7 is just Silverlight programming, or it's just, thank you, XNA. I was waiting to say that the name of that framework for games has just gone right straight out of my head, but XNA. So it's just standard XNA or Silverlight programming. Now, you can do Silverlight programming now without being on Windows Phone 7, and you can certainly do XNA programming now without being on Windows Phone 7, and CodeRush is definitely a help to those people in those platforms who are working on those platforms right now.
Then let me take you in a slightly different direction with the same question, which is, I have a series of tutorials that are called An iPhone Developer's Guide to Windows Phone 7 Programming. And one of the challenges for an iPhone developer is to wrap his or her head around C# managed code, the syntactic differences with Objective-C. And obviously we would love to minimize those differences and put that into automation as much as possible. Is a developer who's coming from Objective-C into C# going to benefit from ReSharper or CodeRush in the sense that an awful lot of the syntax will be either created for them or corrected for them?
I think so. I mean, you'll know yourself that Objective-C is not a managed environment, so you're responsible for allocating and deallocating your own memory. Although, strictly speaking, with Objective-C, you don't do it that way. It's done by reference counters, but, you know... And there's a whole raft of problems in Objective-C, not problems in Objective-C itself, but actually learning to program in Objective-C about whether or not you as a programmer are responsible for decrementing the reference counter when you're finished with an object, depending on how you were given that object in the first place and all that kind of stuff. And to be honest, I think if you already program in that environment and you've already got your head around all those little differences, moving from that environment into a managed environment will be a lot more simple for you to operate in a managed environment. But with regard to creating classes, for example, then it's going to be a lot easier, because if you're used to working in Xcode, which is about one of the worst programming environments I've ever had the misfortune to use, it's like, I kid you not, I mean, if you've used it yourself, I'm sure you know, it's like moving back into the 80s. You know, this is what it used to be like programming in the 80s before we kind of moved on. It's like taking a step back there. But if you're used...
Let me say to interrupt you that I try very hard not to trash the Apple environment, but I used to have a lot more hair.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't believe in bashing Apple or bashing Microsoft or bashing anybody, you know, just for the sake of it as some kind of religious war. But, you know, if somebody wants to stand up and argue that Xcode is the very best environment that Apple developers could possibly have for developing in Objective-C, then I would like to hear those arguments. You know, I'm pretty sure there are no Xcode programmers out there who say, nope, that platform's absolutely perfect and there's not any improvements that I'd like to see at all. I just don't believe that. But the point I'm making is that when they move to the managed environment, they'll get the advantage of it being a managed environment in the first instance. But then on top of that, CodeRush will provide the benefit whereby you don't really need to know what the syntax for creating a class looks like. If you find it difficult to learn the first few times that you're writing it out, then don't panic, because if you simply hit C space in CodeRush, then CodeRush will fill out the boilerplate class code for you, and then all you have to do is to fill in the blanks kind of thing, and CodeRush will lead you through it. So I think for anybody moving from any platform, not just iPhone, but from any platform onto the VB or the C# platform on .NET, CodeRush is a great assistance to them in getting them up to speed quickly on that platform.